Let us pray as we come to God's word. Our glorious God and our gracious Father, it is no small thing to be spoken to by the living and true God that speaks from heaven through your word and enabling your servants to speak in the power and the unction of your Holy Spirit all the truth that is found in Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life. We pray, our God, that you would guide us now, that you would help us not to simply hear words, but to hear the message of Christ that sits upon the throne of heaven itself, and who rules in all things in the affairs of men, and particularly amongst your people. We pray, our God, that you would guide now these words to our hearts, that we might be convicted on the inward parts, strengthened in every way, and that we would be those that would walk the narrow way that leadeth to eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray in the name of our Lord and Saviour. Amen. As it has been read to us, this portion in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 and following. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law, not one part is to be neglected. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, and not by the works of the law. For Christ is neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything, but faith worketh through love. We find the congregation of God's people in Galatia that had fallen in a very unhappy hole. They were people that had been marvellously transformed by the hearing of the gospel through the words of the Apostle Paul. And they had seen the great liberty, the great joy of coming to Christ, and that he had touched them on the inward parts to never be the same again. The gospel of Jesus Christ gave them a spiritual work that transformed them into a new creature in Christ. They were people that were totally transformed by the workings of the gospel of the Word and Spirit. Not only the Word, but also they were visited by God, the Holy Spirit, that resided amongst them and within them and led them into all righteousness. Not the righteousness of themselves, not the self-confidence of self-righteousness, but of the righteousness of Christ that is apart from the law, but found in Christ who has accomplished all things, not only in the past, where you have a bad record, not only in the present, when you stumble so badly at times, but also in the future, when you will be brought to be with Christ on that last day and resurrected from the dead, where the corruptible body will be take on an incorruptible body, that we might see the workings of God, whereby we are brought in to the heavenly tabernacles with Christ. And there we see this congregation somehow stumbling, somehow falling from grace, somehow being entangled with the yoke of bondage again. And this is a real experience of Christians, of real Christians, of people who have come to know Christ. And we may well be in that hole. Today we might be in that hole. We might be in a place where things are not happy any longer. The joy of the Lord is no longer your strength. And that you sink into a place of deep unhappiness. That is good that you're unhappy, because the man of the flesh would not be concerned about these things. The man who comes amongst us, who says, my religion is my own business. They come amongst us and they say, I'm a good Presbyterian. Or I would rather belong to the Baptist Church. Those blessed Baptists. My friends, anything that takes our gaze from Christ as the place where our faith is found is bankruptcy, spiritually entangled with the yoke of bondage again. And the Galatians were in this place. Now look at the difference between Judas and Peter on that fateful day. It's a time of testing. It's a time of revealing when we find ourselves in this condition of being fallen from grace. It's a time that proves that the root of the matter is in us. We should welcome, as James says, every trial and temptation. For it is in that we will see the impoverished nature of the flesh and see by contrast the glory of walking in the Spirit. That is such an important experience. These times of darkness that falls like a shadow over our life is a desperately important experience for us. For the genuineness of Christ is proved in the midst of times like these. And so, the cause of this condition in the case of the Galatians was a heresy. A heresy that wanted to
be rid of the persecution because of the stigma of being part of, as they described in those days, the way. You were a sect. You've become a sect, this Jesus sect. They could not see that Jesus was the fulfillment of everything the Old Testament was teaching. They couldn't see that the whole substance of the Old Testament teaching was found in Christ. Jesus was not a splinter group. Jesus was the substance of what the purposes of God was for man. It was the fulfillment of the covenant. It was the material truth of the scriptures. If you see in the things of Christ how he lived amongst us under the law as the Lamb of God that taketh away our sin, he was not simply a person that was attested of God, but it was a true working of God himself in his only begotten Son, as spoken of in that first promise in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, that there would be a division amongst men between the children of Satan and the children of the woman, who would be born of the woman, the Virgin Mary. And he would be fully God and fully man. You see, in Christ there is no splintering off into a group. It is the mainstream of revelation that has come to us. And therefore, it was tempting of the Jews to run around after groups of Christians that were often thrust out into the wilderness and forced to testify of Christ in the remote places, in the desperate places, the dangerous places. They were fleeing the persecution of the Jews and of the Romans, but particularly of the Jews in these days. And they were saying they come amongst the congregations that were often meeting in insignificant places, in people's houses, in beside quiet places where people could come and worship God in spirit and in truth and in the person of Jesus. So we find that here these people were rejected of men, but accepted of God. And I said earlier, look at the difference between Judas and Peter on that fateful day where they were tested. And Jesus prophesied concerning Peter, that you will deny me thrice before the cock crows. And it was appointed of one man to do what he had done. Judas was filled with sadness and remorse, and he even went back and took his ill-gotten gain and threw it before the elders. And he was filled with self-pity. And he could not find grace in his life. He was one that was not, even though he had heard so much of the message of Christ. He had witnessed all the miracles of Jesus. He had heard the movement that, and seen the movement that had followed Christ in the masses, and then forsook him like a sheep without a shepherd. And so we find that he went out and hung himself. There was nothing of Christ's grace in him. But Peter, Jesus said, Peter, the Satan wants to sift you like wheat. And of himself he would be completely undone. And what happened? He was restored because he found a Christ-centered sorrow. He repented and came to Christ and was restored. And he was in the condition, this Galatian condition, that says, stand firm before, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. He was momentarily entangled again with the yoke of bondage, but he found the spiritual grace of true repentance, true Christ-centered sorrow, denying the flesh, taking up the cross of Christ again, and fixing his eyes upon the author and the finisher of his faith. Peter had said, who else can we go to? You are the person that has the words of life. There is none other that we can go to you. You are our Saviour, said Peter, in former days. And Peter was restored. The Galatians were in this position of reckoning. Are you filled with remorse and self-centered pity? Or are you ready to look to Jesus in a sorrows of repentance? Repentance is a spiritual grace that leads us to Christ. Doesn't lead to you other to any old solution. Brings you to Christ. And there we find the workings of God. What do we remind ourselves of? We remind ourselves that we were once free as the children of God. We remind ourselves that the belief in the gospel is that we were once sinners. We were once in the prison of sin and death. We were in a hopeless position. And all our religion could not bring satisfaction to the soul. And we find that we find ourselves in this condition that unless Jesus has some provision, unless Jesus came as a redeemer and paid the price for my sin, whether it be in the past, which is the ones that I am guilty of, whether it is in the present, because I am still in a position where I am being sanctified and made ready for the service of God, and God is giving me the Spirit of God that enables me to die to our sin and live unto righteousness that is found in Jesus Christ. And allowing us to habitually take away and bury our sin so we can live for Christ and His glory. And so as we do this, as Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, and you, he made alive, and that's what it was there, who were dead in your sin, your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom you all once conducted yourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, that's wonderful, isn't it? The God factor in our lives. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loves us. He laid down His life in our place, paying the price for all our sin. And this work, where the Father is able to declare us righteous and justify us, and that we are people that have received our pardon papers whilst inside the prison of sin and death. And as we go to the door of this prison that no one gets out of, we'll be there for eternity. If we go to the door to the warden and say, "Mr. Warden, I have got my pardon papers." "Where did you get those? No one comes out of this place with pardon papers. Who gave you these pardon papers?" "Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, gave me this beautiful pardon paper. And His righteousness has paid for all my sins." And it says, "Richard Wilson is forgiven." Richard Wilson has a righteousness of another, Jesus Christ, who lived under the law and in every respect without sin, went to the cross for me. What a wonderful Savior. And this is the liberty that we have. This is set us free from this prison of sin and death. This is a glorious transfer of liberty, something that God has given us, free and undeserved. By His grace, He has established this. And not even God can take that away from us. That's amazing, isn't it? That's the position that the Galatians are in. That's the position of anybody who has rendered his life to Christ. And that you know the workings of God's Spirit within you. And so we find that as we stand fast and know, yes, we will have things that we need to ask for God's forgiveness for. But the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that the flesh is crucified in the Christian. That is, he is crucified on the cross of Christ. And that means that now the Spirit of God has come into us through regeneration and through the continual grace of God supplying eternal life to us. The crucified Christ, the crucified flesh, still alive, because you're living in a fleshy body, aren't you? Still alive, railing against us at times, accusing us of our sin. Christ never accused us. The world accuses us and say, what a bad boy you are. The church might accuse us, but Christ will never accuse us. The devil will accuse us because he is the father that is accuser. But it is something that Christ has done. And we are constitutionally different now. The flesh has been crucified. The dominion of the flesh is broken. And the dominion of the Spirit is waxing stronger in your life. Yes, the Christian will fall into sin. The non-Christian will not fall into sin. They wallow in sin. And we are not comfortable in sin any longer, because the Spirit of holiness is giving us a conscience that we need to flee to Christ again. We need to look afresh to Christ. Now, the reason for this in the Galatian church was this heresy. Now, if you just become a little bit more Jewish, if you just return back and start doing the Jewish things and go through the rituals of the ceremonial law and get the emblem of being a Jew, all males must be circumcised on the eighth day, ex opere operato, by the priest, and you will be initiated into the Jewish faith. Now, Judaism will not save you any more than Presbyterianism will save you. Christ is the one that saves us. And just being baptized ex opere operato by some priest will not save you. It will simply give you the badge of being a Catholic or a member of our own church. As good as these things might be, if they're done in the right spirit, but we will not be saved by them. I call that a sacerdotal gospel. It's the worst type of heresy, where we move our centre of faith from Christ to some other good thing, such as the church or Judaism, because we want to be accepted by the wider group and not be regarded as people who are outside that group. We will submit to their rules. Now, this is the very thing that they were not to do. From Christ alone shall these things be poured forth. And we find that justification started when we fix our eyes upon the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. And the life that we have in Christ must be from the focus of our faith on Christ alone. Because as we put our faith on Christ alone, then the works that may be accompanied with that faith are the works of God. God is willing and working his good pleasure amongst us and within us and through us as Christ is working working in us. And so we find that if we are entangled yet again with the yoke of bondage, it could be of other reasons. Anne and I have just been rereading the book called Spiritual Depression by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. I would suggest that if you've ever read that book, you will say, that's a good book to return back to. And the first chapter of that book spends a lot of time laying down the foundations of justification by faith in Christ alone. And the implications of that doctrine within our life. All the chapters later on is talking about how that works out in various situations. Sometimes we can be spiritually depressed because we've been neglecting the means of grace. The reading of the Bible, the prayer, family worship, corporate worship in the body of Christ. There are many things that God gives us, the fellowship of God's people, as we look around our church and we find people that will stimulate us into good works. Now, in that case, if we get away because we become over busy in the business or in family life, my wife was particularly vulnerable when we had four children and trying to raise them up, and there was no room for anything else, and we became spiritually dry. Now, we can be in this condition for many reasons, but for the Galatians, it was false teaching, and I can assure you false teaching can lead you into a cul-de-sac and you're not walking in the narrow way that leads to eternal life. And therefore, we need to be careful. To just rely upon the emblems of Christianity is not going to cut it. But we are called upon to stand in Christ's grace. The position of the believer before God is on the basis that the grace of God is established in our faith in Christ. And we find that, why is it that we are estranged from Christ? You who attempt to justify by the law, you have fallen from grace. Now, this is not me speaking. This is what it's saying here. What does that mean? Does it mean that grace is devoid in your life now that you have lost your faith? Now, it's not that you've lost your faith. You are being dominated by the flesh now. You have allowed the crucified flesh to rule your life. And you are needing to focus on Jesus so that you are in a position where Christ is preeminent again. And then the dominion of the Spirit, you will walk by the Spirit as you've been born again of the Spirit. And that you will begin to see the workings of God, which are always miraculous, for you to be patient and kind and long-suffering is a miracle when we are dominated by the flesh. And we're not to be dominated by the flesh. We live with the flesh, but it's crucified. And we are now to be set free in that. And so, when it says here, you have fallen from grace, in other words, you are no longer walking in the Spirit, but you have become estranged again with the flesh that is dominated by the lesser things of life. And so, falling from grace is that is something that can be restored again. We can be restored to grace. And we do that by dying to sin and living unto righteousness. The Christian life is well stated in our justification. That is the liberty that we are justified and set free from the law in Christ, because the righteousness of Christ is apart from the law. But we find that the power of the gospel is found in sanctification. As we are walking in the Spirit, we see and are able to testify to Christ working and willing his good pleasure within us. And so the power of the gospel is seen by the world through our lifestyle as we walk in the Spirit, so that we are set free to serve God. And in that way, we are able to restore the grace, the operations of the Spirit of God, which is the grace of God. And this is how we stand again in God's grace, through Christ. And so we find that in Romans chapter 5, and verses 1 to 5. Chapter 5. Therefore, verse 1, having been justified by faith, that is where our liberty is. Okay? That's where we restore. Not even God can take that from us, let alone the world and the flesh. None can take it from us. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into the grace of God. That's where sanctifying grace starts working in our lives. So we become those that are saved from ourselves. So we're set free to serve God. So we are into grace, which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. That is a work of God's grace, sanctifying grace, that we might persevere, and perseverance, character. The formation of God, of Christ within us, and character, hope. As we seek to serve God for the future, we pray and we begin to hope with great fervency, because the grace of God has given us that hope. Now, hope that does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us. given to us. So these are the two aspects of the Christian gospel. That of our justification, where we are set right with God. And then our sanctification, that sets us free to serve God in spirit and truth. And so this is the great release that we have. We will find that the Christian life is hard. We will find that the Christian life is not easy. Really, the Christian life is impossible. Because if we can rely upon ourselves, it's not the Christian gospel. But if we are relying upon Christ, then the power of God is manifested. What is impossible with man is possible with God. That we might be set free to be able to God-sized work, not man-sized work. And so we are then set free so that we are sanctified in Christ. We become holy in all things, set apart for God's purpose. And in that, we are more than conquerors. And so, yes, there are times that we might fall from grace. Remember David when he fell into sin. He fell into sin. He wasn't wallowing in sin. And in the fullness of time, in the course of God's grace, David was restored to God, even with such a heinous sin. God is able to go out after his sheep that wander. He'll leave the 99 in the field and take the sheep, lay it upon his shoulders, and bring it back to Christ. That is grace upon grace. That is the work of God's good and wholesome spiritual work in our life. And the power of God becomes our daily discourse with God in the ordinary things of life, in the things that we do. And people see us and see the difference. This one must be walking with God. This one is a genuine one. They might hate us, but they will respect it because they can see a person walking with God. And this, of course, is by faith. By faith alone. This faith works through love. And tonight I'm going to be speaking on the next passage in Rugby. This is going to be the character of faith in Christ will always lead you to love. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And the second is like namely this, to love your neighbour as yourself. And then Christ added a little bit more and said, to love your neighbour as I have loved you. So my friends, stand fast. Yes, you will find yourself. You will find yourself in holes, spiritual holes, whereby you have fallen into it. Recognize it. Look to Christ. Look to the fact that Christ started this good work within you, and realize that Christ is able to deliver you, and you begin to look to Jesus, then the hope of God is restored, and Christ is exemplified within your life once again. May the Lord give us the ability to stop looking at ourselves and let's now start looking to Jesus, for he's a great Saviour. He is merciful and he is quicker to help you than you are to ask him. May the Lord give us grace and may we renew our faith in Jesus. Amen.